Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 16 of the Film Club podcast. My name is Jason.
My name is Rudy.
I'm Robert.
So with us this week, we got a newcomer in the building, Mr. Robert Rodriguez.
Hello.
So Robert, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Great. Put me on the spot. I'm an avid movie watcher. I love film. Ever since I was a kid, I've always watched movies, and so I was excited when you asked me to come and join the podcast. I always got excited about you talking about it because, like, oh man, to sit there and to talk about movies, that's something that, like, I love to do. So thank you so much for having me on.
Of course, glad to have you. So me and Robert know each other. We met at the movie theater.
Yeah.
We both used to work at AMC downtown, which is where I met Rudy too. At City North, anyway.
Oh, I know. Yeah, we met at
City North. Like, I trained there before River East opened, and so that's how I met him. I worked.
Oh, okay.
And then we went to River.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. On this week's episode, we're going to be talking cavemen. Rudy came up with that idea. How'd you come up with that idea?
Yeah, I know. I'm interested, too, because when I saw that, I'm like, really? Wow.
It was pretty random, and he just said it, and I'm like, yeah, sounds good. Let's go with it.
No, I mean, because last week when I talked about Iceman, like, I so enjoyed that movie. It's like, it just got me excited, like, you know, I want to check out other caveman movies, and you know, you don't really hear people talk about caveman movies, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Well, I mean, it's like, let's see, there was 10 million BC, right? And that's
10,000.
No, there's a movie a while back ago.
Oh, okay.
It's mainly known for this one hot chick, one hot actress, she's wearing a fur bikini. Uh-huh. She's like really busty. I forgot her name. Mm-hmm. You guys don't know what title?
No, I have no idea.
I actually really wanted to check that out. I thought that'd be pretty poignant, I guess, to to check out one of the earlier caveman films.
Yeah. So, I guess we're gonna start off. The first films we're gonna be talking about this episode is Quest for Fire. I believe it came out in 1981. Random movie that Rudy knew about.
Was it 81 or 91?
I don't know.
I think it was 81.
I think it was 81.
Oh, I think you said 91. Sorry.
No, I like slurs. So yeah. And then we're also talking about 10,000 BC. Yeah. So I guess we're going to start with Quest for Fire. Rudy, you want to take the reins on this one?
Quest for Fire. So it's about this group of cavemen who... they lose their fire, and they don't know how to make fire on their own. They just grab it from nature and whatnot. But when the fire is put out, they have to pretty much reignite their fire.
Yeah, go on a journey and find it.
Yep.
So what did you think of it?
It was great. It was awesome. I loved how. I guess there was no dialogue. It was just all grunts and pretty much their style of communication. But I don't know. Here, does someone else want to take the reins on this?
I think that's what we all would have said. Like,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's what stands out the most: the fact that there wasn't language at the time.
Yeah.
That's a pretty ballsy move to make the whole movie like have no language.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't see them doing that nowadays. Like, Wall-E did it for like half hour. Yeah. But outside of that,
I actually read, because I IMDb'd the movie after I watched it, because I was interested in to see how the movie was made.
Yeah.
The writer, the novelist who wrote Clockwork Orange actually created the language for the movie.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they actually, they had a guy who choreographed the all the movement, the body movement and stuff.
That's cool.
Sweet.
I was excited when I knew Ron Perlman was in it.
Yeah.
But then he's not, he's one of the main characters, but he's still like secondary.
He's such a great choice for a caveman movie because he has that eternal Neanderthal kind of face.
Yeah, he basically has like a very defined bone structure. That's why Hellboy worked so well. But yeah. What else do you guys like about it?
Go ahead, Rob.
No, go ahead, man.
I said, buddy.
I like that the simplicity of the movie, like, it had, it was all practical shots. Like, nothing was, like, created, like, Clash of the Titans type of, like, special effects, like the old old school Clash of the Titans, you know? Yeah. Everything was all like, you know, those mammoths.
Those mammoths were really actually impressed me. I'm sure they were just elephants.
They were elephants, yeah. They were elephants and covered in fur. And yeah, and I thought that was really cool. And, you know, they didn't need anything. It was just simple landscape shots. And they put these people in the middle of that, and it worked so well.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I just love how simple and natural it was. I mean, just... I guess that's what I admire more, you know, when movies could pull that off, you know, just really naturalistic and whatnot.
I like how the movie, like, handles sex and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They're just raping each other.
Yeah.
Like the woman just bend over and take it.
And... that was, yeah. The guy waiting by the water, the river.
The three girls
were washing or something.
The middle one, and she just lays there.
Yeah, she just takes it. I was like, wow, this is crazy. Yeah. It had its comedic moments too. It reminded me of like Caveman, starring Ringo Starr. You know that stupid Caveman. I don't know if you ever seen that.
I did come across the movie. I didn't see it, but the Ringo Starr.
Yeah.
Wait, Ringo Starr from Beatles. Ringo
Starr? He was in it. He started this movie. I think it was called The Caveman or something.
Yeah.
He played a caveman. For some reason, it kind of reminded me. Like the stupid comedic moments in Quest for Fire reminded me of that movie. Yeah.
What else? What else? Did you see Caveman with Ringo Starr?
I've seen clips of it on TV. I remember, like, you know, it was just really quirky and stupid, like.
But I don't know. Sorry, guys, I'm still reading from my hangover.
I do like, you know, when they eventually introduced the female character. I liked her a lot. I liked how she looked. Like,
I
thought the makeup on that was really cool. And I like the point where she kind of. Like, they never laugh, and she kind of teaches them how to laugh.
Yeah, that was. Yeah. I noticed that, too. That was a great moment, yeah.
And, like, when she first shows them how to like, start fire, like, the way she gets fire and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I thought those all were, like, really cool moments in the movie.
I liked that one guy, like, every time he'll get hurt, he'll be bleeding, and I'll just be laughing hysterically, and he's just, like, laughing with us, like, you're bleeding from your head.
He just looked at it, and he eventually tastes it, and he kind of, like, gets sad for a second.
He's the funniest guy in the movie. That bear fight was hilarious. I don't know why, but I kept laughing.
I'm like, how did they do this? I just didn't know how they did that scene, but it was definitely, like, real bears.
Yeah. No, yeah, I'm surprised I never heard of this movie. I forgot how I came across it, but I mean, have you guys heard of this movie before?
Yeah, I've seen it on like TV when I was a little kid. I remember the ending, and I remember watching that scene. So that's what
Jim, did you like the movie?
Oh yeah, I thought it was cool.
Yeah,
I thought it was like interesting. You know,
I don't know. Yeah, same here.
I definitely liked it.
And I mean. See, I forgot what I was watching. I was watching like documentary and like the evolution of civilizations and whatnot. So I guess that's how I found this movie. Like on Netflix, I was watching the documentary, and after I was done, that was like one of the recommended movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I checked it out, and pretty awesome. Clan of the Cave Bear. I guess it's really similar to that movie. Have you guys heard of that with Daryl Hannah? Mm-mm. She as a cave woman or whatnot. But I guess when Quest for Fire came out and it was fairly successful, like kind of the Cave Bear was like kind of a knockoff. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, as I was watching it, I was like thinking of like man and like how they're intellectual and like how they like have the capacity to learn, but how crazy it must be like to have lived in that time, and the only way you could like. Use that capacity, you know, to learn is if someone's kind of guiding you.
Yeah,
you know. So I just thought like how much we are like a product of like the people who raise us and like all the things we see.
Yeah, definitely.
Like how much that like teaches us, basically. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and I mean that's why I was drawn to this movie and like started checking out other came. Well, I only seen Iceman. But yeah, it really is fascinating, you know, to watch, you know, caveman, I guess, because oh man, I am definitely not on my game today.
Yeah, you guys have any other words on? I forgot the name of the movie. Quest for Fire.
Great movie, great soundtrack. Reminded me a lot of the 2001 Space Odyssey soundtrack. You know, the beginning of it with the...
I still have not seen 2001.
Are you serious?
I know.
Oh, my God.
That's one of those, like, that's one of the movies or I'm ashamed of.
You should have a Kubrick podcast. No. Yeah, that's definitely... I like the music a lot. Oh, you know, it's funny. When I was watching it, I'm thinking, how cool would this movie sound with, like, a kind of, like, Blade Runner type of soundtrack? You know, with the, like, the sounds of Blade Runner, the soundtrack? Yeah, the synthesizer stuff. Like, how, like, opposite it would be, but how amazing it would sound. Like, I don't know. I don't know why I was thinking that I was watching it.
Yeah, synthesizers are usually a good thing.
Yeah. No, but yeah. Quest for Fire, yeah, pretty great.
Yeah, good selection. Selection, Rudy.
It's a refreshing movie, especially after watching so much CGI everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you really sit down, it kind of, like, refreshes you. Like, your mind is reset, and, like, you watch something that was effects at all whatsoever.
Yeah, they, like, had no other choice.
Yeah,
and that was a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're going to talk about another movie.
It's, like, complete opposite. I mean...
Which is the complete opposite, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, like... Well, are we ready to move on to...
Yeah, let's do it. We don't need to give it. Do you want to give a rating? It's an old movie, but do you want to give a rating?
Yeah, I'll give it a solid 5.
Out of 5?
Out
of 5.
5 out of 5. I'll probably give it like a 3.5 out of 5. Yeah. It's not, you know, it's good.
I'll give it. I don't know why I emotion to you guys now.
Awesome.
I would give it a 4.
A 4?
I'm like the Simon Cowell of the...
No, Rudy just throws out those 5s. I've been listening to the episodes. Yeah, he gives everything a 5.
I guess I would be the Paula, right?
Yeah, you're the Paula. I'm the Simon. You're the what, Randy?
Yeah, I'm Randy.
Well, I guess I'm interested now. What didn't work for you?
What didn't work for me? The connection. I never felt that that connection that he had with the main guy. What he had with the girl, I just never really understood it, like why he wanted to go back and find her. Like, I don't know, because like the first scene, like where he pretty much just raped her, and then, you know, the next, you know, all of a sudden, like, you know, like two scenes later, he's like in love with her and wants to follow her somewhere. Like, I don't know, I didn't feel that connection between them. I didn't.
I mean, that didn't bug me too much. Like,
yeah. It didn't bother me, like, because it was there, but it was just something like I didn't feel, like, you know, I don't know.
And I just thought, I mean, it was cool, but, you know, it's a little slow at times.
Yeah.
But that's just to be expected with the way it is, you know, with no talking, so.
Okay. Well, everything...
Really, it's okay. You don't got to justify if you're 5. It's cool.
No, I just loved everything about that film, so. But 10,000 BC.
All right, moving on. 10,000 BC.
Where we go from just really natural practical effects to... CGI overload, which I think kind of hinders the movie. Well, I mean, I seen like the first 20 minutes of the film before I dozed off completely.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, before we get too serious, I mean, I'm sure we're not going to get too serious about this movie, yeah. But it is Roland Emmerich, you know. It's the guy who did Independence Day. And
which is a great film.
2012, right? Did he do
2012. Stuff like that. So, I mean, he's known for these... Big budget, special effects heavy, crowd pleasers, I would say.
I don't think anyone...
But I know, this one, it's like he makes movies for massive audiences, but I don't see how a mainstream audience would have any appeal to 10,000 BC.
I was
watching a movie, and I was mad that it was... I mean, Robert seems like he thinks it's terrible.
Yeah,
I didn't think it was terrible,
the worst movie
which is kind of like sucks. It's like middle of the road. This is kind of boring. This is kind of bland. But I didn't think it was, like, horrible.
Yeah, I mean, from what I watched, it felt like it was trying too hard to, like, be a crowd pleaser that it just didn't please anybody because it was just trying so hard, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I just think the subject matter itself, like, I mean, I wouldn't even say it's about cavemen, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, like, about primitive civilization. Like, these characters in the movie are way, like... After seeing Quest for Fire, these characters are way too pretty.
Yeah.
I was looking at his teeth. I'm like, he like bleaches his teeth. They're so pretty. It's like, I mean, I understand that's kind of how it is. Like nowadays, they try to, you know, get people in movies that people enjoy to look at, like looking at because they're pretty. But it doesn't fit with every movie, you know.
Yeah. No, I think that that's one of the major things that were bothering me, because it just looks so touched up that
the dirt looked like makeup or something.
Yeah, I didn't buy into it. It's like I want to see, you know, a caveman movie, not you know, people pretending to be cavemen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Like in the first half hour, there's a lot of parts where they're like on hills, and you can just totally tell it's like just a set.
Yeah,
you know, like the backdrop just looks really bad. And you know, with CGI, I mean, it was made years ago, and it's already aged. Like it looks.
Yeah,
it doesn't look good.
No, I agree with you on that one. Yeah.
No, and
Robert,
then
you want to get into it?
Yeah,
it's just a. Oh. I mean, it's like when you told me that was one of the movies we had to watch. I remember seeing it, and I just remember hating the movie so much.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, I have to rewatch it because I don't remember anything about the movie, and I just felt like
for good reason.
And I was just like sitting there last night watching, I'm like, oh my god, I was like, why? Like this is like I'm suffering just because I have to like do this for the podcast. But it's
oh, you didn't have to suffer.
I didn't even watch it at all. I stick to my guns, man. No, but yeah, I agree with you on the special effects for sure. Like they're just so terrible. Like I don't know, it's only 3 years that it came out, right? 3 years.
Yeah, it hasn't been that long. Yeah.
And they're so bad. Like I don't understand. Like,
you know, and you know what the crazy thing? Like Jurassic Park, it's CGI still. I feel its CGI still holds up even today. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's, you know, Jurassic Park was one of the first films to like really utilize CGI as heavily as they did, and it still looks gorgeous to this day. Then you have crap like 10,000 BC. It was like, really? You were just made 3 years ago, and you can't hold up? You know what I mean?
It's definitely Ronald Emmerich's laziest film, I think.
Wow.
It's only an hour. That's weird to say because he really isn't like a great filmmaker. But no. I mean
his movies are fun, I think. Like, yeah. I enjoyed 2012.
Well, I had fun watching Independence Day, but I was a kid, I was having a blast watching that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. that probably is the key difference. Cause, yeah. Well, we were all kids when that movie came out. Yeah. But
I'm more jaded now. When I watch movies like that, I'm cynical and hate them.
But what was I going to say? Another thing that bothered me about the film, I didn't appreciate that they were talking English. Like, these are cavemen. Like,
with accents. I didn't get that. What was the point of them having accents in the first place?
Where are these accents supposed to originate from? It didn't make any sense whatsoever. And like the main character, his accent like comes and goes throughout the movie. And the thing that bugged me about the movie was, I mean, they had to set up this love story. But the beginning of the movie, you meet the characters when they're young. And like the same night this guy meets the girl, he's like already holding her hand and like pointing to this guy and, you know, promising his love.
That was really corny.
What was his name? I don't remember his name, the main character.
Yeah, I remember.
But it was
me and Rudy have been terrible with names.
He's such a terrible. Like, it's like his character is so horrible. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah,
like,
it doesn't matter.
He's such a win. Like in the beginning, like I guess he wins that spear because he killed the mammoth, but he didn't kill the mammoth the right way.
Yeah, he kind of like inadvertently murdered.
No, he did though. He purposely killed it, like, because he stuck that spear in that rock. He stuck it up. He knew that mammoth was coming for him. So how did he feel ashamed for like not killing him the right way? I didn't understand that. And then he gave up the girl because of it. It's like, you son of a bitch. Like, what, you're the stupidest person ever. Like, what's wrong with you?
Wait, he felt ashamed.
because
he got the spear and he realized that he wasn't deserving of it, because I guess he didn't think it was really a courageous act or whatever. So he just said, yeah, I don't deserve it.
You have a mammoth land on you. That's pretty courageous to me.
Well, no, I mean, he did stick the thing in there for that purpose, but still, he was kind of like, as the thing was coming to him, he was kind of cowering.
Well, he still killed it, though. It was still him.
And he did hang on.
That's all kind of dumb, though. Yeah, that whole story.
Yeah, and I guess if he wins the spear, he gets the spear and he gets the girl. Mm-hmm. And so he's so ashamed, he's like, oh, I gotta give up the spear, and he tells the girl, "I give you up, sorry."
So much for that.
And then it's like, what?
Yeah, that sounds retarded. I'm glad I fell asleep.
Yeah, and then she gets taken, right?
Yeah.
By this group of people, and they immediately go after them. Like, this huge group of people just like murdered a few of your people, and you're already like going after them. Like, what are you gonna do? There's like four of you. There's like a bunch of them on horseback, and then when they eventually catch up to them, I don't know. They have a fight and they get away.
Yeah.
And then when they get away, they take some more people. Yeah. But it's like a huge tribe. It's like, how did this huge tribe just let them take you guys? There's not even that many of them.
Yeah.
It didn't make any sense.
It didn't. And especially what pissed me off the most was, like, the main character, he made so many stupid mistakes, and then he fell into that pit, and then he saved that what the hell, Sabretooth?
Sabretooth.
Yeah, and then minute they get to that tribe, they meet that tribe, uh-huh, and that valley, yeah, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he turns into this courageous leader, like, yeah, overnight, yeah, and you're like, where the hell did that come from? Like, I don't understand. Like, I don't.
I mean, he did talk to the one guy, the guy kind of told him, but I did feel him, like, trying to be that person, like, has this huge destiny to lead these people. It definitely was forced.
That's, yeah, for
sure. But, I mean, the actual action sequences, which there aren't a lot, like, there's maybe, like, three main ones, I did enjoy them. Like, I did enjoy that scene where he falls into the pit with the Sabretooth. And then the Sabretooth comes into play later, but I thought he was going to come into play even more, like, towards the end of the film. And no, he just disappears.
Yeah. Because he was only there to fulfill that prophecy, apparently. And then once that was fulfilled, see you later, Sabretooth.
No, I mean, I remember when the movie came out, and I was watching TV spots, you know, commercials for it. Like, that was, I was excited to see the Sabretooth, you know, action, mm-hmm, scene. I mean,
there's no Sabretooth.
There isn't.
No.
You fell asleep.
He falls into a pit, and then it's like raining, and there's a tiger down there that's stuck.
Yeah.
So he basically says, "Hey, I'm gonna let you go. You better not eat me once I let you go." He lets him go. Tiger comes up to him, just growls at him, and jumps out.
That was it?
And then later, when he goes to meet the tribe, and, like, they're about to go at it, because the tribe doesn't know who these people are, the Sabretooth comes, like, and kind of defends
them. Oh, man, well, I would have been thoroughly disappointed if, I was at least hoping for that, you know.
Well, I mean, that's
going to have great...
With a caveman movie, it should be, like, it needs to be rated R, like, because you can see, like, bloody stuff going on.
It wasn't even that?
Of course it's not. I mean, it's not rated R. It's Roland Emmerich. Like,
he
makes movies for everybody.
Huh.
You know, that's the difference between this and, like,
Apocalypto.
Like, Apocalypto is awesome because of how violent it is.
Yeah. I mean, they're cavemen. They're supposed to be brutal and barbaric. I'm really glad.
I just want to know what the research was was put into the movie. Like, you know,
it doesn't go with any research done.
Like, no, like, there probably was. I mean, they probably said, "Oh yeah, these kind of tribes did exist back then. It's not cavemen, but it's kind of like
it cavemen." Just didn't feel authentic.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely not.
Especially, like, I just, like, when they would, like, wake up the slaves from their sleep, they would all just be like, "Oh, we're awake now." Like, they would just get up. Like, you were sleeping on the hard floor, like, for a long night. You just waking up like nothing. And, like, you're okay. You look healthy. Like, I don't understand that.
With bleached teeth.
They, like, whip the shit out of them. They, like, like, throughout the whole movie, they're just whipping the crap out of them, and they're just standing there.
Yeah,
whatever, just working.
We're just here to look pretty. We're extras.
Yeah, that sounds like and a really disappointing movie. And then the
end, like, they seemed like they were going to do a cool thing where they had, like, a tragic ending, and then they just canceled that out.
What was her name? Mother? Or the lady? The tribe?
Mother something.
Yeah, she was... That just didn't get... That was pointless. I don't understand. Well,
I mean, I knew this movie was bad because, you know, I mean, I heard all the bad reviews and stuff. Yeah. But wow, I mean, not even good action scenes. I enjoyed
what there was in the action. I mean, they're not, like, fleshed out action scenes, but I enjoyed what it was. I think it's middle of the road. I don't think it's dreadful. I think it's bad, but it's not, like, terrible.
Wow.
Which I was hoping it was terrible so that we could really
bash it.
It already seems like we're bashing the crap out of it anyway, so.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Honestly, I really would like to say something great about the movie, and I'm sitting here thinking, I can't really think of anything.
So, out of five, Robert?
I'll give it a 1.5 for effort.
Okay. Well, since you did that, I was going to go 1.5 as well. I'll go 2.
Yeah, I can't really give it a rating, but I would probably give it no stars.
I mean, I just don't, like, one of the things that I wanted to bring up, like, there were only, like, really three major, like, set pieces in the whole movie, right?
Yeah.
Like everything else is just, like you said, hills. Or, like, kind of, like, yeah, I don't remember anything significant standing out besides, like, the set at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird, which is weird for Roland.
Yeah, that's what I was, like, yeah, Roland, I could always call him Ronald Emmerich. But, yeah, you're right. No, that's what I was saying, because he's, I mean, 2012, I thought, was visually great. Like, I mean, visually, the special effects were great. You know, it was fun to watch, but.
Yeah.
But do you guys remember Encino Man? Did you guys see?
I was gonna bring that up. Like, why are we? Why didn't we watch Encino Man? The greatest, the greatest caveman movie ever made.
Yeah, Brendan Fraser, right? These two are they high school guys or what? It's been a while since I've seen the movie.
I've seen this movie like a million times when I was a kid. I can explain the plot to you.
All right, go ahead.
It stars Sean Astin. Everybody doesn't know who Sean Astin is. He's Rudy. He's Rudy from Rudy, and he played who? Did he play in Lord of the Rings? I forgot.
Samwise Gamgee.
Yeah, and he's a high school kid. You know, the dorky kid who has a crush on the popular girl, and his best friend's obviously like one of the other outcasts.
Pauly Shore.
Yeah, and he's digging a pool in his backyard. He's trying to make a pool, and an earthquake unveils like a caveman covered like in ice. So he thaws him out, and then he teaches him how to be like somebody like in the early, like a teen in the 90s or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just a stupid movie.
It's fun.
And I don't know why I watched it so many times as a kid, but
it's stupid fun, right?
Yeah. I guess now it's not stupid fun, but as a kid it was stupid fun. I don't know. But, yeah, that's what that movie's about.
Yeah. I was like thinking about when I was a kid and the stuff I found amusing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really liked Adam Sandler. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people did. But he's not really back.
No, I mean, that's why his movies are, you know, don't do as well anymore. Yeah, I get people realize, like, yeah.
Well, he kind of got away from the whole rated R comedy thing, and now he's doing things for more.
Well, did he ever do rated R?
He's basically like,
I don't know if
Happy Gilmore or Billy Madison.
No, those are all PG-13. Yeah.
They were close, you know. Like, there was definitely swearing, a lot of swearing in it, but yeah. He went the Eddie Murphy route.
Nah. Yeah.
He did. Well, Funny People, I think, was, even though it wasn't really an Adam Sandler movie, I think that's the last thing he was in that was good. I think everything he doesn't write or has anything to do with creating, he's really good in. Like Punch Drunk Love, I loved him in Punch Drunk Love. Mm-hmm. So
I've never seen it.
Punch Drunk Love. It's great.
I know you really liked it.
Yeah. I love that movie.
I think it's great how we're talking about caveman movies and then go to Adam Sandler, which seems really fitting, you know? Yeah. It's like,
Okay. I was thinking of Encino Man. You guys ever see Biodome?
Yeah, I saw Biodome. That was another one I used to watch a lot.
Is that like close to a caveman movie?
No, it's nothing to do.
I was trying to like think of how it would be.
Well, I mean, no, if you call Pauly Shore, I mean, he's kind of a caveman, right?
Pauly Shore. Stephen Baldwin, right?
Yeah. Year One.
Year One. Didn't I see Year One?
I heard how bad that was.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I've seen that. It's terrible.
I saw 5 minutes, and I thought what I saw was funny, but I'm sure
it's so incoherent. Like it's like different segments that don't even connect with each other. I don't know. I didn't.
Well, I mean, it seemed like that movie was just. I mean, it was all about just coming up with funny scenarios, right?
Yeah, pretty
like,
much.
Like skits and stuff.
Yeah,
like that?
That's what I felt like it was.
Did Harold Ramis like direct that one?
I think so. I think he did.
Yeah.
Who's Harold Ramis?
It's one of the Egon. Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He did
Egon.
He directed Groundhog Day.
With the glasses. He has like curly hair, right?
Yeah. He played Seth Rogen, right? Seth Rogen's dad in Knocked Up.
Oh, yeah.
I know my Egon, man. Groundhog Day. Directed Groundhog Day.
Sweet. So, did you guys watch anything this week, aside from what we just talked about?
I don't think I did.
Adventure Time?
I mean, yeah, but there were reruns, so nothing new. But yeah. Definitely Adventure Time. Do you watch Adventure Time, Robert?
No, I've seen clips and stuff. I hear it's great. I mean, I hear like all the potheads are getting into it and stuff. That's all I hear.
No, it's great. It's like a cross between. Do you like Legend of Zelda games? You said no.
No.
Well, it's like Legend of Zelda meets Simpsons meets Peavey's Playhouse.
Oh, that's weird. That's a weird combination.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. But, Jay, did you watch anything?
I did.
What'd you watch?
I don't know. I watched Beasts of the Southern Wild again.
Because
I had been thinking about the soundtrack. And I also wanted Cynthia to watch it because I thought she would like it.
Yeah.
And that's what I was talking about, my retraction, because like everything that I said last episode about Beasts of the Southern Wild, I take back pretty much most of it.
Awesome.
Like, I really love the movie, and Rudy, like Rudy had said that, oh yeah, I kind of pointed out some flaws that you maybe didn't recognize, and the movie really doesn't have flaws. Like, it's a pretty perfect movie. Like, when I initially saw it, I was conflicted, like I said, about the whole idea of the movie, like, us against them. But I don't know, just watching it again, I got a better sense of the mentality of the movie.
Yeah.
And of the people who live in that situation. And I also got a better context for the father character. Because when you initially meet him, he is nice to Hush Puppy. And then the next time you see him...
Have you seen?
No, I have not seen it. I read reviews.
I'm trying not to ruin.
No, it's fine. I read reviews on it. So
yeah, like it's available
to download. I heard it's comparable to, like, people compared it to what Where the Wild Things Are. It's like the shots and stuff. Yeah,
I get that.
I definitely get that. And but like with the father character, the second time you see him and he's kind of mean to Hush Puppy, it's because he just came back from getting checked up and he finds out that something you know may or may not be wrong with him.
No,
so.
I think that's in the review that I read or the plot synopsis that he's dying of something.
I mean. I understood his character like throughout the whole movie. There's even times when he is mean to her, but then there's also times where she's kind of you could tell she's kind of thinking about something and he does things to try to get her mind off of that. And so I just totally did a 180 on his character. And then regarding Hush Puppy's narration, totally wrong. Her narration is great, and that would probably be one of the.
Yeah, I thought you were being unjustifiably harsh on the film. Like, dang.
Like, with the narration, I would compare it, like you said, to Where the Wild Things Are. Like, just the way, because she talks like a kid, and that's why Where the Wild Things Are was so great. Because, like, the dialogue, it's just like something a kid would say, you know?
Yeah, I like the part where she says, like, man, if Dad doesn't come home soon, pretty soon I'm going to have to start eating my pets.
But, I don't know. I did like the whole sense of even the father kind of. I mean, I don't know. Like I was saying a lot about like the environment that they live in and how it's not really a sanitary environment to live in, but they're also really happy because the first 10 minutes or like first 5 minutes of the movie, there's like this big celebration in the town, kind of like 4th of July, and yeah, they don't have much, but.
They know how
to have a good time.
Yeah,
you know, and like there's this line of dialogue where Hush Puppy says, like, I heard, you know, like in some other places they only celebrate holidays once a year. Like, you know, we celebrate whenever we want.
Yeah,
and stuff like that. And obviously, a lot of what she's saying is a byproduct of how she's being raised, and they're probably putting that in her head. But I don't know. I just really love the movie. Seen it a second time.
Sweet.
And, like,
awesome.
It's a movie that I am constantly thinking about, and I want to see more.
Yeah. And what did Cynthia think about it?
She liked it. Yeah, we didn't really get into it that much, but I just got a lot out of it the second time around. And then listening to myself talk. I mean, I understand why I was saying those things, because like I said, I was conflicted. But seeing it again just made me open my eyes to a lot of what the movie was trying to do rather than what I wanted it to do.
Yeah.
Actually, the same thing of Hunger Games. Like, I saw Hunger Games, and I didn't really like it because I was expecting it to be, like, more brutal, more like Battle Royale.
Yeah.
And that's not what it is. And then when I saw it the second time, I saw it for what it is, and I enjoyed it a lot more, you know. So it's kind of the same thing. I'm willing to admit when I'm wrong.
So it's like it's something you have to watch twice?
Maybe not. I mean, I'm sure Rudy.
I've seen it twice.
Loved
I mean,
the first time
yeah.
and the second time. But like for me, it's a lot like that. Like, cause some of my favorite movies, some of them I didn't know how I initially felt about them, and some of them I even fell asleep to.
Yeah.
But like Kill Bill Volume 2. After I saw the second part, I was like, I don't know about this, but it's one of my favorite movies ever. And then The Fountain, I fell asleep. Granted, I was tired.
Yeah.
But that's one of my favorites. Zodiac, I fell asleep. Granted, I was tired, but. I love Zodiac, so it's one of those. It's in the pantheon of all those other films, which is a good.
Yeah, I definitely felt the same way about The Fountain. Did you see The Fountain?
Oh yeah, I love The Fountain. Yeah, it's like, I mean, like
I definitely didn't appreciate it at all initially. Then years later, I just gave it another try, and I was like, wow, this movie's pretty awesome.
My next tattoo is actually going to be is inspired from The Fountain. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, what kind?
It's gonna be a tree going up my arm. It's gonna it's gonna say "Death is a road to all," like the Cold.
Oh yeah, that's an awesome line. I love that line.
Yeah, I was like listening to a PlayStation podcast last week, and like I don't like the podcast that much because I don't like the personalities on it that much. Uh-huh. And then this one guy, which I thought he was a tool, just because he works for PlayStation, and you could tell he's kind of always selling the brand. Rather than being honest, But then they started talking about the fountain. And, well, they were talking about Journey, the video game we were talking about earlier. And then they compared it to Fountain, which is a pretty awesome comparison. And then the guy was saying how much he loved the fountain. And Def is wrote to all, like, that's all he could think of when he was playing the game, which is pretty awesome.
Oh, that's cool. Now you got to play it.
Play Journey.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to try it out.
It's a pretty emotional experience. Right. I know Rudy started it, but he needs to finish it.
I mean, I got through a good portion of the game. I just got stuck at that one part, and I don't get why I got stuck.
2 hours long.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like watching a movie. You just play an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Long.
It's just gorgeous.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I remember I was playing in a room full of people, and you know they kind of like just stopped what they were doing, just like were watching me play the game. And it's like it's one of the things where it's just awesome just to sit there and just watch.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I played it, and then a few days later, I'm like, I had her play it, and I just sat there and watched her play for 2 hours. Like the movie, I mean, the game, the visuals are like, you can just watch them and just cry.
Yeah, it definitely.
Wow, a video game that made
it's
you
like
cry.
It's like so beautiful.
Yeah. Well, Jay's a big crybaby. Anyway.
Like Journey made me cry. The Walking Dead game made me cry too. Man.
No, that's cool. I mean,
that's all I watched, don't you?
I'm not ashamed to admit when a movie makes me cry. Like, I'm actually proud.
I'm not ashamed at all. Like, I love when movies.
I cry like a fucking baby in the Orphanage. Did you see it? The Orphanage.
Yeah, I see The Orphanage. Yeah.
Yeah. I when it was doing a theater run, I saw it total 3 times in the theater, and each time I just cried.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when I was reading about you crying during Life of Pi.
Four times.
I was like, what the? No, it's just really emotional. Actually, there were moments where I was tearing up in there too, watching it. So it was pretty funny. Like, this dude, he was right. But yeah, awesome. I think Life of Pi was the last movie that kind of made me tear up a little bit. A little bit. I just tear up a little. I don't really like, I don't gush.
No, yeah, I cry like a baby. I'm trying to think of the
like
last
baby?
Yeah, I did.
You were sobbing?
Yeah.
The only thing I think I've, like, I mean, I guess I've sobbed in a lot of movies. But I actually sobbed a lot in Passion of the Christ.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know. I just, it was not a fun movie to watch. And even though I'm not religious, I don't know. I just.
Well, I mean, yeah. I think
that movie still made me feel a certain way.
Yeah.
Even though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's funny, because the way I see my point of view from that movie is not a religious aspect. It's just like Mel Gibson is just a great fucking director.
Yeah.
That's all I'm thinking every time I watch that movie. Yeah, yeah. He's so insane. Like, he's insane, but he's so good at filmmaking.
Oh, I actually did watch something. I saw Little Buddha. A movie, 1992. What's
it?
Bridget Fonda?
Is that Keanu Reeves?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Keanu Reeves, he plays Siddhartha, the first Buddha. Mm-hmm. So this movie is about these monks, these Buddhist monks. They're looking for the reincarnation of their deceased teacher, this great man, and they go to America. they go to America to find this boy.
We go to America.
Yeah, I don't know, what is that from?
Boria.
Awesome, good job, Jay. Okay, so they find this American boy, and they're trying to convince his parents, like, we think he might be the reincarnation of our deceased teacher. You know, if you give the chance, you know, we'll do, you know, we'll test him to see. So they have that storyline going on, and then they intersect that with the story of Siddhartha, and that's when Keanu Reeves comes in. It was really cool. I enjoyed that movie a lot. Have you guys heard of it? Seen it?
I've heard of it. I've seen the posters and stuff, but I've never watched it.
No, and
1992.
Okay. Yeah. I guess one of the main things I really enjoyed about this film is so when they go to Tibet, they find two other children who are candidates for the reincarnation, and I really enjoyed when the three kids came together, like they're just a lot of fun. I mean, even though the two kids, they don't come into play until very late in the movie, like, they had a lot of character where it's like you definitely enjoyed them, even for the little amount of time that they were on screen. Let's see. Yeah, Little Buddha was awesome. You guys should check it out.
The last thing I saw, the last two movies I saw at the theater were Life of Pi and Seven Psychopaths. Yeah. As far as at home, I just bought Ted and Dark Knight, so like,
oh, yeah?
But I haven't really watched those. I've seen the extras. That's all I've done. But
how are they? Watch
Dark Knight again.
Dark Knight Rises for Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah,
they're okay. I mean, you know, Christopher Nolan is never like an extras guy, so. Like, all the stuff you see is just, like, promotional stuff that they shot. And, like, you don't really hear it from the cast at all. And all the, like, the making of stuff.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they're, you know, they're going to release another DVD or Blu-ray and inject all the...
Yeah, I just hope at that point Nolan, like, goes, okay, well, you know what, for the fans, let's do some let's do some freaking commentary. Let's let's hear from the actors.
Commentaries on them?
I don't think there was a commentary on it, no.
Yeah, and like when they come out, they're usually pretty loaded with features.
Warner Brothers just sucks with their special features on their Blu-rays, I think.
Well, I mean, isn't that pretty much the trend when you release something, you know?
Well, some people do it as a cash grab, like you make something and it's bare bones.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They release it later with a bunch of features.
Yeah.
But like the Batman films haven't. I mean, they usually have an extensive amount of features on them.
I mean, I'm sure
they're good or bad. I'm not sure.
Did they release?
They're not bad. I mean, they're cool to see how they shot. You know how they shot the airplane sequence in the beginning.
Yeah,
they showed that. That's cool. You know, but like they have this documentary saying like farewell to Batman or something where they talk about ending it and stuff. It's called Ending the Night, yeah. But it's not really that like important. It's like two like 8 minute featurettes. Like that's it. Hmm. One of them is about shooting in IMAX. The other one's just like, you know, this is how we wanted to end it and blah blah blah. And that's it. It's like, oh, like. Nothing from the actors saying, you know, oh, like, you know, it was great to work with this person. You don't hear from, like, the cast, the new cast, like Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
He's, like, nowhere to be found on the extras.
Hmm.
Well, which is horrible because he was the best part of the movie, like, one of the best parts of the movie.
Yeah, I really liked his character. He was awesome.
And, no, I definitely need to watch Dark Knight Rises because I fell asleep in that one, too, a little bit.
Oh, you're terrible. Did you watch it in IMAX? Or?
I watched it at...
Well, yeah, no, at Movie Call. Yeah, Movie Call. But I did want to mention about Little Buddha. There was an awesome line because the father of the American boy, he was getting impatient with these monks. It's like, you're brainwashing my kid. You know, it's like, I don't really appreciate this. I don't believe in reincarnation. And then I love the way the monk, he explained reincarnation because, like, I guess I never really thought too much about reincarnation, but I love the way he explained it. Simply, he's a teacup. All right.
Focus.
Sorry. All right, so he took a teacup. He filled it with tea. It's like the tea is the mind. The cup is the body. When I break the cup no longer becomes a. No longer is a cup. It's just it's broken pieces, but the tea that spills everywhere, it's still tea, and you know the tea is just like looking for spaces to fill. But even when he's wiping it with a towel, he's like even though the tea got soaked up in the towel, like in the towel it's still tea. And I thought that was a pretty cool way to explain it. I don't know. That's cool, right?
That's cool, yeah.
But I guess back to the whole caveman. I guess what's really intriguing about, you know, cavemen, I mean, is to see, you know, well, that's pretty much where we started, you know? And that's always kind of cool to, you know, learn about.
Yeah.
You know, has anybody seen that? I think the new TV show, right? It's called Man or The Story of Us or something like that.
No, I haven't heard anything like
Jay.
I've heard of The Story of Us, I think.
Yeah,
like a History Channel type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I have. I never watched it.
Yeah, no, I mean,
I don't know, is it the first season or second season or something?
It just
like that?
Started.
Okay. I'm thinking of something. I think I'm thinking of Life After
Us. Oh, Life After Us or something? Yeah.
That's in the second season.
And no, I mean, I haven't heard anyone talk about it actually, but No, I haven't checked it out, but I definitely want to check it out. I mean, it sounds cool. It's along those lines where it's evaluating, you know, human beings throughout history.
A lot of talk about life in the last couple podcasts, right? Like the
what was that?
A lot of talk about life and human and behavior. And
yeah, we're trying to get deep.
Well, I mean, I think that's why I've been checking out like all these different. Well, you know,
did Life of Pi like start this like the fascination with it though?
Yeah, it was Life of Pi, and then we talked beasts, and they're all like.
No, because I'm going to be honest, I got the same thing off of Life of Pi watching it. Like, for me, as a movie, like, it was okay, but as the feeling that you take away from it was more profound. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. And that's the whole purpose of the story of Life of Pi. Like, you know, you want to get, you know, these profound messages and whatnot. I think that's why I've been, you know, like, I think I've been talking about this even before Life of Pi. Like, it's just something I started getting into, like, all these different documentaries on the rise of, you know, human beings and whatnot. I mean, I've been checking out a lot of Middle Eastern-related stuff. Oh, man.
But yeah, I wanted to bring up Life of Pi because I know you love the movie so much.
And yeah,
I know you said you wanted to hear what I thought about it.
Yeah. Do
but,
it.
But
you can talk about all those movies. Dark Knight Rises, Ted, whatever you want to talk about.
I don't know. I know you. Was it for you more about the religion aspect? Did that like have anything to do with you were watching it? Like the religion aspect of the movie.
I mean, to me, it was just about faith.
Yeah,
just believing in something.
Yeah, because
like, story is that. Inspire, you know.
What I took away from it, I don't know, like us in our lives, like as human beings, like we're all tested in our lives in some way, like no matter how big it is, as being stuck in a boat with a tiger or, you know, just dealing with something as small as like, I don't know, whatever, like whatever you're going through on that day, like having a bad day, like you get tested.
Yeah.
And it's all about how you get through it, you know what I'm saying? Like that's what I took away, because like, I don't know. I know it's going to sound a little exaggerated, but that movie came as close to describing the meaning of life as, like,
definitely.
You've ever, like, as anyone else has tried to describe it before. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Definitely. No, it makes perfect sense.
When we were talking about it, like, to me, like, the movie is about so many different things.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, I mean, I compared it to Castaway because that's an obvious thing to compare it to, but. I mean, it reminded me of Tree of Life, too, because it really is, like, about everything. It's just trying to say so much to you.
Like, yeah, the images were pretty, the fish, the whales, like, but I don't know, like, I got, like, you know how we say, you know, oh, being in love is, like, you can't describe it, it's just a feeling?
Yeah.
I think that's the way, the meaning of life is. Like, you can't really describe it, you just feel it, you know what it is, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and that's sort of what I got out of the movie, like when he says at the end, why does like this is just something that happens, why does it have to mean anything, you know? And he went through it, he felt it, he, you know, it was his, like, I don't know, that's what I love about the movie.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and that is you know, the purpose of you know movies like this, you know, I mean, art in general is like to explain those intangible ideas, you know, love, death, life, you know, just all the things that we have a hard time explaining, and you know, that's why, you know, we look to art. I mean, it's like, you know, man, I need to lay off drinking, guys. I'm just holding this like a regular mic now.
What are you doing?
No.
What is this guy doing?
What was I saying? I don't know. I lost my train of thought. Guys,
I think you're describing how, like, that's the best thing about those movies, that they try to describe the things that you can't describe.
Though. Yeah.
But
yeah, and yeah, I definitely agree with you. With you know, Life of Pi is definitely a movie in a long time that's like actually really touch based on, you know, meaning of life.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I don't know. It's so weird because as a movie, it was good. But the meaning behind the movie, it was like,
I mean,
it was amazing.
I definitely get what you're saying there. Like, I think the movie has flaws.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily like the borders, which I talked about last episode. I don't like the setup to the story that much. Just I just feel like it's a little clunky in a way. And then I don't like the last revelation, even though it does set up the ultimate question of, you know, a lot of people who I think are not getting the movie are asking the question, oh, you know, was the story real or not? Like, that's totally...
No, that's the purpose not, yeah.
I love the movie's trying to say. It's like...
I'm going to read that comment. Basically, I'm like, oh, great. Yeah. So, but no, I totally get it now, what you meant.
Yeah. It's not about that.
Yeah, it's...
And it does have problems, but I just think, like... I mean, the visuals are pretty, but and to me, that is really important. Because I mean,
yeah.
It's a visual medium, obviously.
Yeah.
And I was impressed just because... He showed me a lot of things that I haven't seen before.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
That's worth, like, noting, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know.
It's a touching movie.
Yeah, definitely.
That moment with Richard Parker towards the end.
When he's walking away.
No, I didn't want to give it away because I don't want to know if people are watching it. But
yeah, like Robert reposted the line twice.
Where they don't have that, yeah, well, that cult, that where they don't have that moment. It's just, it's heartbreaking, even though it's just a friend, like it's such a heartbreaking moment because like,
that's where that line is from.
Yeah,
I seen you post it twice. Like, where like, is this line from?
I'm sure like we've all had moments like that. And it's just like you think about it, it's like, oh my god, like that is such a sad moment. Like,
yeah, hell yeah.
Oh my god, like you have to like you don't get to that chance to like.
That's you don't just, get that closure.
Yeah, that closure. Yeah. It's horrible. Yeah, but
it's awesome. I mean, because you don't get that closure, it's much more memorable.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking more so.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you see Tree of Life?
I've watched segments of it. I can't.
I really like Tree of Life.
You didn't? I mean, you liked it?
The movie is pretty much nothing but segments, actually.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I watched like the first hour, maybe. I think it was maybe the first hour. I don't know, because I stopped and then started it up again. But
I like saw it in a movie theater and. There was
maybe I
there was these two girls that were just like
talking and talking.
They were not ready for what they were watching. And they were just laughing, and it still didn't ruin the experience for me. So, yeah.
No, I mean, I definitely was excited about watching that film, but I don't know. I couldn't help but feel somewhat disappointed. Like,
I definitely think the last 10 minutes are not good, but. Everything before that.
Yeah, I just felt like it was just too much. I mean, just being pretentious, I guess. And yeah, I always feel pretentious every time I say the word pretentious. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just decadent. It was just overly decadent, I guess. You know, for my taste.
Yeah, that's another movie that I want to bring up that's kind of related about life like that is, have you guys seen Synecdoche, New York?
No.
Oh, my God.
What is that?
It's with Philip Seymour Hoffman, Charlie Kaufman, Roland directed.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's beautiful. A lot of people hate the movie, but it's a really beautiful movie because it's the same exact thing. It's like just how, like, no matter what people go through, there's someone going through the same thing, no matter how small it is. It's something important to you. And it's sort of like how Tree of Life and Life of Pi kind of like remind me of. Mm-hmm. And it's such a beautiful movie because towards the end of the movie, there's this amazing like narration. While Phyllis Seymour Hoffman's like riding around in his like go kart, like I don't want to give too much of the scene because it's such a beautiful scene. Like the narration is beautiful and it's so beautiful. Like you guys need to watch it.
All right,
I'll add it to the list.
Oh, I have it. I have it on Blu-ray, so I'll bring it up over next time.
Sweet, hell yeah! I'm surprised. Life of Pi is not doing so well at the box office, or not as well as I thought it would.
I went to go see it. I sat on a Wednesday night. The theater was packed.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's a movie that has like some staying power.
It's gonna have word of mouth.
A lot of movies
gain momentum.
Well, yeah, it just kind of sticks around. Like you know, like I mean, Skyfall obviously was gonna stick around, and it has like
yeah,
it was number one like 4 weeks after it came out.
Yeah, I mean, it dropped, but then didn't go back up.
Yeah, it dropped, and obviously Twilight came out and was number one for a few weeks, but then like the Thanksgiving weekend, I believe, it went back on top.
Yeah, Skyfall is great. I fucking love that film. Did you see
Speaking
Skyfall?
Of the movie about life and death, no. I'm just kidding. No, yeah, Skyfall was a great, I don't know, like a great popcorn flick. I don't know, but yeah. It had a great meaning too. And Javier Bardem always, when he makes the best villains.
Hell
like,
yeah.
Like, you know, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I remembered, like, our last episode, you know, we do our whole introductions and whatever.
Yeah.
And we usually talk about something. I forgot what I was going to talk about, and then I remembered it afterwards. I was working one night, and a guy, you know, I was ringing up the guy, and he opened his wallet, and the wallet had a Blockbuster card. So I just made a comment. I'm like, oh, I haven't seen one of those in forever. And then we just kind of talked about whatever. He's like, yeah, you know, like, there's one in my house. It's cool. So I just kind of want to talk about that, like, talk about the video stores and what that meant to you when you guys were younger and stuff like that. I know, I'm just throwing this on you.
No, it's cool.
No, that's a really good question. Awesome, Jay. Yeah. I fucking love, I used to love going to the video store when I was younger, especially the one on Fullerton.
I miss
it. When it was Hi-Fi. Right?
Hi-Fi video. There's still Hi-Fi video.
Yeah, on Armitage and...
Kedzie.
Yeah, but... I remember that, like, they sold merchandise there, too. And I would just always get lost in there because, like, I would spend a lot of time there. Yeah. But, I guess, obviously, video stores are seem to be kind of a dying breed.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons.
I mean, it makes sense it is, you know. It was expensive, now that you think about it.
Yeah.
I mean,
$4
for
a movie?
It was somewhat about movies. It was more so about video games, going there and running stuff every week. I still love that stuff. And Hi-Fi was probably more movies, because that was more their thing. Like, they had a small video game selection, but I used to always go there. I think that was the first time I discovered Donnie Darko when I was at really?
The first time I discovered Donnie Darko was at a Blockbuster.
Yeah. And I loved the little reward program they used to have where you could, like, rent a movie and you could get a free Blockbuster favorite, so like an older movie for free and stuff.
I remember my first Blockbuster rental. I was a kid and I made my mom join Blockbuster. And I rented Kindergarten Cop and Bird on a Wire with Goldie Hawn and what's his name? I forgot his name. The guy from who was the stunt driver in Death Proof?
Oh, Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Overboard. Yeah.
It was no. It was Mel Gibson. I'm sorry. It was Mel Gibson and Goldie Hawn. Bird on a Wire.
Oh, Bird on the Wire.
Yeah. Those were the first two movies I rented at Blockbuster. Oh,
sure. How was Bird on the Wire?
I don't remember. I remember Kindergarten Cop though.
Yeah. Kindergarten Cop was a lot of fun.
I remember there was a video store.
There is no bathroom. Like, I remember when he was in the movie.
Arnold was great. Like, he made so many good movies. It's insane. I remember I used to work at a... I'm not work. There was a video store by my house. I forgot what it was called. I think it was like A&M Video or something like that. And I remember run it Super Metroid or something. Some video game. And I returned it like 2 weeks later. It doesn't make any sense. Like, the place was literally a block away from my house, and I didn't return it. I returned it like 2 weeks late. I never got to rent from there again. I owed him like $50.
Wow. Did you walk away after you returned it or something?
It was fine. And then I would I would go in there, and I was young, so I would go in there and be like, hey, can I, is it okay? Can we just wipe this slate? But no, I never got to rent. But then it eventually closed down, so...
Then you remember at Hi-Fi? There was a dog there.
Yeah, there was always like a pit bull.
Yeah,
in the counter. Yeah, and there was an awesome pizza place next to it. I used to always go to with my buddies. Yeah, and then I remember one night. I don't know. I think I had to return something before midnight, so I walked. I mean, Blockbuster was like a 20-minute walk from my house, and I returned it. And then it was like midnight, and on the way home, fucking cop picked me up for
awesome. Dude, did you tell him, I had to go return a video? And he's like, right.
He's like, oh, just get in the car. I'll give you a ride. And then when he's giving me a ride, he's like, oh, what's your information?
Oh, you took out your information. Saying, did you get ticketed or something? Or
I forgot. But he, like, dropped me off. And, like, my dad, when my dad was working, he used to have to wake up, like, super early. So he would leave, like, at 3 o'clock in the morning. So the guy was like, so obviously I went later than midnight. It was probably later than that. So my dad was going out to work, and like the officer talked to him. My dad was pretty mad at me. It was such a stupid thing, you know.
Awesome.
I miss it though. I remember as a kid, like, you know, you couldn't do anything. You were at home, you know, and like I would say, like, you know, like you'd go to the video store and rent stuff, and you get excited to see the movie boxes out
there. Yeah.
And so
it's like cool not to like know or have all the information out there, because nowadays when I want to watch a movie, it just seems like so overwhelming because there's so many things you want to watch,
yeah.
So many games you want to play, so much music you want to listen to. It's just there's so much out there, and it's just sometimes I just think about it more than actually sit down and do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, is that anything else you guys got for today?
I wanted to say something, but I forgot what it was.
You want to give it a second?
Nah. I can't remember.
I got a question. Besides, obviously, 10,000 BC for me. Yeah. Like, what are movies that, like, guys, like, that you've watched that just made you so angry? Just made you so mad. Like, you heard great things about the movie and you watch it.
Yeah.
And you just get so mad at the movie. Like, you know, I don't know. They just, like, you want to scream at the characters and you want to just, why is this, why are you doing, like, you know, like, why are you doing this?
Yeah. I can't think of one right now. No. But you got one?
Oh, yeah. No, I have plenty.
I think I was really negative towards Crash when I saw
it. That's.
I was especially negative when it won Best Picture. Like, I was pissed, but... Whatever.
One movie stands out for me, and it will always be the movie that I like. Just makes me so angry. It's called Rocket Science.
I
really love that movie. I fucking hated that movie.
That fucking movie pissed me off so much.
Yeah.
Oh my god! Like, I just got.
Remember you saying like you can't stand.
Oh yeah, I think we talked about it before, right? We have talked about it before. Yeah.
You hate people who stutter?
No, not that. Not that. First of all, like, it does take. I'm not gonna lie. It takes a lot of patience to watch a movie where the main character stutters like crazy.
Yeah.
But that wasn't my problem with the movie. Was just like the different directions that it took. It was ridiculous, and in the end, where like the non-existent father out of sudden shows up, like out of nowhere, like nothing, like, oh, I'm picking you up, and it gives him like this weird, pointless speech that really doesn't have any depth to it, at the end, and that's how the movie ends, and you're like, what the fuck just happened, So,
it's been a while since I've seen a movie, so I can't remember. I mean, I remember Anna Kendrick a lot. I guess.
Oh yeah. I think I had a hot dog named after her at Hot Dogs.
Really?
Yeah. They have a hot dog named after her.
Awesome.
The part that I hated so much is the middle of the movie started building up because he started learning from the guy who was like the master of like debate or something.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then like they built up to him practicing. Like they built up to this moment where he goes to like the debate, the competition. And then, literally 2 minutes after he signs up for it, they get kicked off.
Yeah.
Because they weren't official or something. You're like, what the fuck just happened? And then, like,
I thought that was awesome. I love that it went that route.
It was so stupid. It was like, but then you gotta, like, what I understand, then, like, movies need, I don't know, then what was the point?
I just love how unexpected that was. You know, I mean, like, it went against the wave, and I think that's why I appreciate it.
Filmmaker was such a like an asshole. We're like, no, you know what? What if it went this direction? Like, you know, what are the, you know, I don't know. I'm guessing like, oh well, it was more about the journey for the character than what the end. You know, I'm like, but then the journey was just as awful to watch. I don't know. Like, it wasn't even a good one. I don't know. It's
rough. No, I mean, it's been a while since I thought about that movie, but yeah. You remind me exactly why I enjoyed that movie. It's because of how of that turn that they took. I guess so. Okay, do you watch The Venture Brothers?
No, I don't watch The Venture Brothers. I've seen, I think, like an episode or two, but I don't really remember.
I guess I'll listen to a DVD commentary, but okay, so they created Venture Brothers. On the theme of failure, so you have all these different characters, and they're constantly trying new things, I guess. But it examines how they're constantly failing, and whatnot. And I don't know. I just thought that was pretty cool, and because you definitely learn a lot more from failure than you do success, yeah. I guess. And yeah, that's why I enjoyed Rocket Science, because you know it was that same theme, you know, learning from your failures. But so you were really pissed off at that movie.
Yeah, I got so angry.
I mean, I didn't like I really didn't like Sucker Punch, but that's no one liked that movie. So
it was just visual eye candy. I mean, visually,
well, it wasn't even good. I don't think it was visually cool, really. And then, like, the reason why I brought that up is because you mentioned the whole thing where he just gives a speech at the end. It doesn't make any sense. which I don't remember rocket science, like all the details of that movie I just threw out of my head. So, and then, but with like Sucker Punch, like the movie goes on and there's like this whole final narration about female empowerment, and it just comes from out of nowhere. It makes sense. It doesn't match up with what is happening throughout.
Yeah, that movie definitely is ridiculous in terms of, you know, story, but I mean, yeah, to me, visual feast.
No, I don't know about that.
I didn't even like the visuals either. Yeah, I wasn't.
No, I mean, I wasn't a fan of the movie either. I mean, but like,
that's why. We did like the one character. Remember, we talked about him, the one guy who's.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He was good.
Yeah, he was.
He's in Drive, right?
He's in where?
He's in Drive.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He's the guy who comes out of prison.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been thinking about Drive a lot. I want to watch it again.
I had the poster. I love that movie. Yeah, I remember the first time you weren't too keen on it, right?
I do think it's good. I don't know. The only thing I didn't like was the relationship. I understand the whole movie was about being as minimal as possible, like just not having a lot of dialogue, not a lot of characterization. But I just didn't. I didn't really believe in their connection, Carey Mulligan and Ryan Gosling.
I could see that.
Yeah. I mean, I completely understand why he would be willing to do, like, risk his life for these people.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't really have any connection like that in the real world. But I still had a problem with that.
I want to watch more movies like that where it's, just minimal dialogue. Like, I feel like you pay attention a lot more.
You should definitely Valhalla Rising. Yeah. This is the one he did before Drive.
Valhalla Rising.
Seen any of his other
films. It's great. You haven't seen? Oh, they're great. Bronson is good too.
I've seen Bronson.
And there's another one he did with what was his name? John Turturro. That I forgot what it was called. Something X. Mm-hmm. And that one's really good too. But definitely, if you like interest in something quiet,
yeah,
Valhalla Rising. It's just like it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's why I love Quest for Fire so much, you know, because, again, minimalism, but, yeah.
I mean, all you gotta, like, in Valhalla Rising, all you gotta remember is, like, he literally, with his bare hands, like, pulls guts out of some guy's body. Like,
awesome.
So, I mean, come on. You can't get any better than that.
And it's all practical effects?
Yeah, there's no special effects in it at
Sweet.
All.
Sweet! Yeah, I can't think of any movie off the top of my head.
That makes you angry?
I was just so pissed off at. I mean, I definitely have been disappointed and got angry at movies, but
I mean, I can't Avatar think of. Was pretty disappointing.
Oh yeah, Avatar.
Fucking Avatar. I mean, but that was because, like, I mean, it was being built up so much.
Yeah.
And there's stuff. I mean, it's totally not related to the question you were asking, but you know, like with the whole crash thing. I feel like the Oscar, I mean, the Academy Awards, I have a problem with, because, like, there's movies that just come from out of nowhere, and then they just win, and it doesn't really make any sense. Like, King's Speech won a few years ago, and,
yeah.
Like, you, like, think about people who had a top 10 list, that movie was nowhere near it. The Artist won last year, and that's, like, that was no one's, like, best of the year. And
yeah, I kind of lost respect for the Oscars a little bit. Yeah. I don't know.
Understand how, like, that happened. I mean, maybe it's just... I know a lot of it's, like, politics and stuff like that, but I just don't get it. The same thing with Hurt Locker. Like, you know, those...
Yeah.
It was a good movie, but, like, best of the year.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, definitely politics.
And I'm hearing really good things about Zero Dark Thirty. Well, I'm actually pretty excited about it.
That's Bigelow.
The Bigelow movie, Catherine Bigelow. But it's the same lady who did
Hurt Locker. Yeah.
So it's probably one of the favorites, for sure.
What happened?
It's probably one of the favorites this year.
Oh yeah.
I'm with Lincoln and. Yeah.
No, yeah, definitely.
It'll be nice if Life of Pi pulls it off, but
that'll be awesome. And Beast, the Southern. Wow.
I won't even get nominated, unfortunately.
Hopefully. I mean, at least for Best Actress.
No. Well, I mean, the only thing that came out was the Golden Globes, and I don't think...
Which one?
The Golden Globe nominations came out today.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think she was on there.
Who you guys... I'm sorry, I lost. Who you?
The little girl from Beast of Southern Wild.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, she was phenomenal. I mean, she was 6 years old or something like that when she filmed that
role. I'm hoping, like, the score gets recognized or something. But I... I think that's the only thing that
Have you heard of the movie before I was talking about it?
Yeah, I'd heard like reviews and stuff.
Okay. No, I didn't know anything about the movie. I just saw Dawson poster. You know, just her with the fireworks, yeah. Silhouette of her with the fireworks, and it's like, okay, that's enough for me. I want to watch it.
Yeah.
Well, have you guys ever seen a film based on the poster? It's like, man, this is a really cool poster. I want to go check out the movie. No, Lady in the Water, it definitely awesome, awesome poster. What a fucking disappointing ass movie.
Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't call it that. Disappointing. I actually didn't. I remember enjoying it. I only saw it once. But that night I saw, that was back when I worked at River Ace, I saw Monster House and that the same day. And I thought it was a good night at the movies. I enjoyed both of them.
Was that when they had the employee screening of the movies?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I remember. I went to go see Lady in the Water that night. But, no, I've never really based it off the posters. Now that I really don't work at the movie theater, it's harder for me to even base it off posters.
Yeah. I definitely try to stay away, like, from trailers and stuff like that, usually. I mean, so Beast of Southern Wild, I didn't know. I knew the name of it. I didn't know what it was about at all going into it, so that was kind of cool. And I know you posted the Pacific Rim trailer today.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty sweet trailer. I just watched it. Like, I'm like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's a dark trailer. Like, it's hard to see, like, some of the stuff, but...
I'm just happy Del Toro...
Yeah, Guillermo Del Toro.
...got off his ass and finally directed a movie.
I know,
well, right? I mean, he's been a busy guy. I mean, just doing a lot of...
putting his name on stuff.
Yeah, that's all he really... Come on.
Putting his name on mediocre... Well, The Orphanage is decent, but, like, Don't Be Afraid of the Dark.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I understand he was tied up with the whole Lord of the Rings. He was supposed to direct The Hobbit initially, and so that wasted a lot of his time. I want to see a lot more output from him. And supposedly he's making a new, like, haunted, like, his own horror movie, which is exciting. Hopefully it's not overproduced, like Don't Be Afraid of the Dark was. Did you see Don't Be Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah, I said Don't Be Afraid of the Dark.
Yeah, it was definitely a case of overproduced film and just kind of hindered the movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me anyway.
It's one of those, I don't know.
It's like, whatever.
It's just one of those movies where you walk away going, whatever.
I really enjoyed the little girl. I mean, I always like her. But, like, Guy Pearce
that
ending was an idiot.
And that ending was cheesy as fuck.
It's the worst.
They could have gone, like, I don't know, they could have gone in a great direction, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure. I really don't.
Have you guys noticed a lot of theater posters? They're starting to do, okay, so the poster for Thor... It's like, I think it had, like, some words written across his face. It's like, it seems like... you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The new one?
Or the old one? Last one, it was his face, and they had words, like, whatever the tagline of the movie was.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. And it just seems like a lot more posters have that kind of same style. Yeah. Do you guys know what I mean?
I don't know. I didn't notice it. When I go to movies now, I never look at the posters anymore. I don't do it on purpose. I don't know.
I think, that might have came about with Social Network.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a lot of people are using those aesthetics in the movie where they're like pop-up words.
Yeah, yeah. And the poster for Evil Dead... Like it looks really badass. I mean, they do a similar style. It's like, have you seen the poster for the Evil Dead remake?
I don't remember it.
Are you guys looking forward to the Evil Dead
remake? I am.
Yeah, I am.
It's pretty brutal. I've heard it.
Yeah, I saw the Red Band trailer. It's phenomenal. Really? Yeah, it's so phenomenal. Yeah, it's.
I'm excited. I mean, because like I don't know, I couldn't get into the original Evil Dead. I mean, Army of Darkness was awesome.
I mean, I did eventually watch Evil Dead 2, and I mean,
is it Evil Dead?
It was like hard to sit through, but the movie is like incredibly inventive. You know. The effects are pretty great.
From my understanding is. Or correct me if I'm wrong, is Evil Dead 2 just a pretty much Evil Dead 1 just bigger production value, I guess?
No.
It is slightly different.
Yeah.
And like the ending leads up to Army of Darkness as well. Like he gets transported.
Really?
Time travels to this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. I thought the ending was pretty cool. Yeah. And, like, I don't know. Just the stuff that Sam Raimi did with the camera in Evil Dead 2. It's pretty crazy. Like, you should watch it. It's pretty nuts. It's different than the first one, for sure.
Sweet.
Oh, and I was going to tell a story, but it's totally, like, not movie related, but I thought it was kind of funny.
I mean, go ahead.
I was sleeping. I slept over at my girlfriend's house last night. And so it was, like, the middle of the night. I'm sleeping. And I'm having a dream about me and my brother Nick, you know? And he's laying on the bed. I know it sounds creepy, but no. Or, like, weird. But he's laying on the bed, and I'm sitting up playing video games. All right? And he keeps farting. Like, he keeps farting, like, throughout, you know? And I'm, like, trying to play. I'm trying to focus. And he just keeps farting. I eventually got fed up, and I yelled, stop. But I woke up, and I yelled, stop, like, at the top of my lungs. Like, it's, like, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I just go, stop! Like, just yelled it. And, like, Cynthia got up. She's like, what the hell? And then she was mad because, like, she's trying to go back to bed. And I was just laying there, like, laughing for 20 minutes. Like, I was hysterically laughing. Like, awesome. It's so funny I did that. But I yelled at the top of my lungs. I don't know how that happened. You guys ever had something happen like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I have. I can't remember.
Night screams like that?
Well, like, you actually wake up and, like...
Yeah, I've had it when I was a kid, though. I remember, like, dreaming that I was playing with my cousins, you know, and stuff, and we were joking around and laughing, and they were, like, doing something, like, trying, and I was yelling, stop, stop, too.
Yeah.
Like, and then I woke up screaming, like, at the edge of the bed, like, the corner, like, you know, like, like, yeah. In, like, crawl position, you know, like, and everybody of my cousins were like, shut the fuck up, like, so awesome. I remember that, yeah.
Like, when I was younger, I was sleeping over at my friend's house, the next day we were going to, we're gonna go to Magic Waters. I'm not sure if you guys have been there. It's called Water Park, and
I never been.
I was just sleeping, and you know, I'm the youngest sibling, so I kind of got picked on a little bit by my brothers growing up. And whenever I got picked on, I would call my mom, yell for my mom, right? So I'm like laying there sleeping, and they're waking me up in the morning, and they're hitting me with pillows. So I just woke up and yelled, "Mom!"
That's awesome. Like,
their mother was there. It was so embarrassing. It was so
like, are you calling me?
That's terrible.
Yeah,
I think it usually just happens when you're not like when you're in a unfamiliar like yeah, when you're not at
maybe,
home.
Maybe.
Yeah,
it was weird. Hmm. I couldn't believe I did it yesterday. It was hilarious, though. I couldn't stop laughing.
Awesome.
Alrighty, guys. Well, I haven't been saying this last few episodes, but you could. Our blog address is filmclubpodcast.blogspot.com, so you could go there, see when we post new episodes and stuff like that. We put out our podcast schedule, so I kind of go through that real fast. Our next episode is going to be released on the 24th. It's going to be our first annual Christmas spectacular.
What does that entail?
We're just going to talk our favorite Christmas movies and maybe share some stories about the holiday and stuff like that. Sweet. What it was to you when you were a kid and what it is to you now, maybe. followed by that, on December 27th, we're going to do Django Unchained, Tarantino's new movie, which is getting really good buzz.
Yeah, I know. I'm really excited about that one.
Quentin Tarantino.
What a surprise. It's Tarantino. We'll also be talking to Hobbit that episode. And then the week after that, I really want us to see Zero Dark Thirty. I think that'll be pretty cool. So we'll have a review of that. And then a week after that was going to be our best of episode. Former members Cody Johnson and Michael Hendrickson are both interested in doing it. So I'm hoping to get both of them. And I'm hoping to get you, Robert, for as well. It's probably going to be like, you know, we're going to do the whole guilty pleasure and all those different cool categories. I'm thinking of doing a top five of the year.
Yeah.
It's, you know, especially because I don't see that much movies. I know Rudy doesn't see as many movies. Do you see it that much?
Yeah, I don't see as many anymore either. As
I think like top five, and there'll be five of us. So
that should be fun.
So, yeah. Our email is thefilmclubpodcast@gmail.com. We never get any emails, but so this is the call out, a call to action. Like, email us. We'll be happy to have you guys.
If you want to tell us how much we suck, just email us.
See, whatever. Whatever, get us talking. But yeah, that's been episode number 16. Robert, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You're a very articulate individual.
Thank you. What is that supposed to be?
Well, I hope to have you back soon. Rudy, thanks. Yeah. That's it, guys. Take care. Keep her in line. You gotta pull her by the hair. Hold her tighter than a grizzly bear. Be a caveman.
show a woman who wears a pants if you want to.